1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Fires in California, tornadoes and hurricanes in the Midwest and back east, and floods as well. A lot of natural disasters affect people's homes, and we wanted to talk with Paul Tubby Lane. He's with Firebreak Consultants, an organization that advises fire departments and rescue companies where homes are, where properties are, how they're being threatened, and essentially gives them directions to those properties to make sure that they're taken care of. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, sir. I think it pretty much says what we do. What we do is, while a situation is at hand, we're brought in, we see it firsthand, we see a fire, or we might see flooding. We swing over the scene in a helicopter. We try to identify which homes are first of all threatened, and then we make a determination from there as to the home and property value that we're looking at. The chart we use is a property cost evaluation chart. If you see a home that's worth $500,000 to $1 million, and a fire is threatening it, and you also see a home that's worth $100,000 or $200,000, it's a job. It's what I do. I direct the fire crews to the more expensive home.
Are you hired by these homeowners?
We are. We're hired by either the homeowner directly or the homeowners association. And the neighborhoods we're hired by generally are some fairly expensive homes, and we want to make sure that the fire crews get to them or the rescue crews or what have you to the higher-priced home. Now, naturally, houses of comparative value are in the same neighborhood, but a flood or a fire or a tornado can threaten a number of neighborhoods at once. So we make sure the fire crews are waiting on our decision. We chop her from one neighborhood to another. And if the crew has a fire threatening a middle-value home and we've got one of our homes in danger, we'll let them know.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that a fire department will break off fighting a fire at a $100,000 home to go and take care of your $500,000 to $1 million home?
No, they won't do that, but what we try to do is direct them before the problem takes place so that they get to the $1 million home.
The people that are employing you?
That is correct. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, let me ask you this, Mr. Lane. Why should somebody who has a $1 million home have their home protected by the fire department or by a search and rescue or by the flood rescue people before some guy who's got a $100,000 home?
Well, that was a question I asked myself. Before I got into this business, I didn't quite think it was fair that people who didn't have as expensive a home or people who lived in a trailer park wouldn't get equal protection by the fire department. But then I started thinking about it, and if you think about it, I think you'll come up with the same answer. Who is the ones that pay most of the property tax? The rich people's houses. Who is the ones who pay most of the taxes? The rich people's houses. And who is the ones who pay the salaries of the firemen or the police or whoever the rescue crew is more than the poor people's houses? The rich people's houses do. So once I figured that out, and once I began thinking about that, and I would think about it so much each day, that I finally come to the conclusion that what I was doing was made sense, because if a man has a $1 million home and he's hired me to watch his home and direct the fire company, the fire department to it, that's because he's paying a lot in taxes.
All right. So in other words, you are hired by wealthy homeowners to make sure the fire department gets to their house before they go fighting a fire in a trailer park.
Well, yes, sir. And I know that it sounds cold, but if you think about it, the guy in a trailer park is not paying near as much in taxes as the guy in the $1 million house. Now, we have it on our chart. We have the value. We can tell what's burning by the color of the smoke. So I can tell you by looking at the smoke whether it's a trailer or whether it's a $1 million home burning. The darker the smoke generally means it's a trailer, because there's a lot of vinyl, there's a lot of rubber that's burning, there's a lot of plastics that are burning, whereas in a $1 million home you have more woods, you have more cottons, more wools. Those are the things that would burn more. And also, wouldn't it be creating as much smoke, because most of those $1 million homes have limestone entryways, they have tile in the kitchen, they've got granite shelves in the kitchen, so you're not going to see that.
Is this a tough job for you?
Well, it's a...
I mean, emotionally.
Well, we don't have time for emotion. We make sure that everybody's all right. But the structure of the home, we had a fire in eastern Arkansas last year. I'll just give you an idea, Mr. Hunter. I was surveying from the air. I saw a man and his wife and children waving us down from the ground while their trailer, or what do you want to call it, I don't know, like their home, was burning. And I ascertained...
Why are you having a hard time between trailer and home?
It looked like a trailer. I don't know what it was. I ascertained, though, that the people were all right. I decided it's a burning trailer or a Mason block house, and I was going to send the fire department there, because I knew that some of the people who employed me had million-dollar houses about 5 miles away. So there was nothing else I could do. They were waving to us to try to get the fire department, and all I could do is I gave them the finger because it's universally...
You gave the finger to a man who was waving you down because his trailer was on fire?
I had to because it is a universally recognized symbol that says we're moving on.
Well, didn't that result in some legal action against your company?
It did, but, the kids were safe except for the other child.
You flipped a man on while one of his kids was in there burning.
Well, that's unfortunate, okay?
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
But over the course of 20 years, our performance has been very good, Mr. Henry. If they had a better house, we would have sent units. But they want to live in a trailer, that they take the chance that it burns and there's a kid in there. You know, what do you want me to do about it?
Get the fire department over there, I would think.
I thought that everybody was out. I could either save a $1 million home and put a few dollars in my pocket, or I can save a family in a double wide, and I walk away with nothing.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. With me is Paul Lane with Firebreak Consultants. They direct the fire department and rescue crews to the wealthy home and homeowners that employ them so that they don't waste their time fighting a fire in a trailer park. Is that right?
That is correct. And again, Mr. Henry, we've got a great record at saving lives. I'm just saying if there's a $1 million structure or there is a... I don't know what you want to call it, $50,000 or $100,000 trailer, you got to be out of your mind if you think I'm going to direct the fire department to go put out some trailer fire while a man's $1 million home is burning. Now, I told you that for a long time I didn't feel right about what I did until I started thinking about it, okay?
And what was this again? The guy in the big house pays more in taxes?
That's right. That's right. And if you would think about it like that, you would understand. The man who lives in a very wealthy house pays more in taxes, and so therefore... He should get the fire crew to his house before the guy who lives in some $200,000 dump.
Now, let's be clear here. A $200,000 home in a lot of states is a nice home. In California, I suppose it's not as great.
Well, it's okay, but it's not like a $1 million house. And again, what I have to do is I have to make that decision. I don't want to kill anybody, but I have to make sure that the fire department goes to the house that the homeowner is the millionaire in, so they can put out the millionaire fire. Otherwise, you've got a bunch of guys standing around hosing down a trailer, and you look pretty stupid at the end of the day when some guy's $1 million house burned to the ground and you're hosing down a trailer. And when there's television coverage about these fires, by the way, who looks better on camera and saved, the wealthy guy who can speak proper English or some toothless wonder who's upset he's missing Fear Factor because his house got burned down? And that's what we're trying to say.
All right, 1-800-449, that's what you're trying to say, huh? 1-800-449-8686. Here on the Phil Henry Show, we're talking with Paul Lane about his business. They direct the fire department to rich houses, and the guys in the poor houses, their houses get burned to the ground.
Well, not always, but what we try to do is, I know what you're thinking, okay? I know you think that it's heartless, all right?
Well, I do a little bit.
But let me tell you a little bit about my life. I got into this business because I grew up in a blockhouse in the panhandle of Florida. My father drank, my mother worked two jobs. And I'm going to tell you a story that may shock you, but it will explain the work that I'm in now. I was so angry at my parents for the life that we had that I took a can of lawnmower fuel one day, and I soaked our kitchen. I burned the house to the ground.
You burned your own home to the ground?
Yes, sir, I did. And I spent 3 years in the juvenile detention facility because of that. But when I got out, I knew what I wanted to do. I never wanted to live in a house like that again. And so if I can rid another kid of a poor circumstance, a drunk father, a mother that's got to work two jobs, then away it's good. And I don't want no kid to die, but I'd just as soon see a trailer burn down and see a $1 million home burn down is all I'm saying.
In some way, I don't know, maybe you make sense, but it's just too bad that people don't have equal protection from the fire department.
Well, they do.
Yeah, but you're sitting there calling them up and saying, don't go, go over to this house here. Next thing you know, you got firefighters going and dousing down some guy's $1 million pergola in his backyard while a guy's trailer burns. 1-800-449-8686. His name is Paul Lane. He's with Firebreak Consultants. They fly over a fire area and make sure that the fire department gets to the rich houses that pay them. And some guy's block house down the street, that burns. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I see, but everybody, why should they do that?
Okay, well, we're talking with Paul Lane with a consultant group that calls up the fire departments and basically tells them to go fight the fire at the rich house, not the poor house. Firefighters will do that?
Well, yeah, they will, because, first of all, why would they go fight a fire at a poor man's house when he don't pay all the taxes that the rich man pays? Another thing, too, you have to understand that a lot of the wealthy people who have just put in brand new, they might have put in brand new floors, they might have put in, added on a wing, they might have added on a billiard room or something, and that's a great investment as opposed to a guy who just put up a chain link fence on his you know, $100,000 to $150,000 house. If you're a firefighter, what would you want to do?
Well, if I know where a fire is, I would fight it, okay?
But they're not paying your salary. I think the rich people, when a fire hits their house, or when a flood hits their house, or when a tornado hits their house, or hurricane hits their house, I think they're entitled to at least have some of the services of the county directed in their direction. Let's take care of them. Then you can go down and see what some of these people who, you know, didn't do as good with their life, and now they're... So if their trailer floats away, what am I supposed to shed a crocodile tear on that one? The other one's about the trailer.
Just sounds very heartless, sir. That's all. Do you understand?
I know, but I explained to you. I felt bad about it, too, until I found out about the tax thing. Now, I'll tell a fire crew to go to a rich house and put out a small fire in the backyard before a fire burning 10 or 15 trailers.
And you'll tell a fire department to put out a fire in the backyard?
That's right.
Before you tell them to put out a fire that's burning 15 trailers?
Right. First of all, I mean, not make sure that everybody's okay, but are you kidding me? I had a fire department go and put out a leaf fire. There was a pile of leaves that were on fire, which took them about probably 2 minutes to put it out. And meanwhile, there were three double wides that were burning across town, burned to the ground. It's nothing but like a puddle of molten aluminum.
And you feel just fine about that?
After I found out about the tax deal.
Here's Jerome on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Jerome.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
First of all, Mr. Wayne, you disgust me. People with the rich houses, more than likely, they have the insurance to cover the damage.
You don't know that for sure.
And also, it's about lies and a lie. If they're so rich, they can get their own extinguisher systems and put in their house.
What about on the outside if they've got a brush fire coming down the hill on their house?
If they got a brush fire, I'm pretty sure if they can afford all the nice houses, they can afford a garden hose to put out a brush fire.
Hey, let me tell you something about brush fire. Some of these things will kill like 10,000 acres, okay?
Okay, 10,000 acres compared to one human life. There is no comparison. There is a common goal.
It is
to take care of your fellow man.
Well, wait a second.
Not your fellow dollar.
Now, let me ask you a question. You got a man who's going to die in a $1 million house. You got a man who's going to die in a double wide. Why don't you just go over and get the man out of the $1 million house?
You get to the one that is closest.
Okay, that's why I tell the fire department to get on over to the rich house. Next thing you know, they're there. Then they may say, well, why don't we go to the double wide? I say, well, you're here now. You might as well fight this fire.
See, that's not right.
There is no right way.
Well, no, what do you mean that's not the right way?
There's no right. You do not put the dollar sign over the human life priority.
I'm not putting the dollar sign, but he's the man paying all the taxes to pay the firefighters to sit around and play checkers 90% of the time anyway.
Do you know about
firefighters? 90% of the time, they sit around playing checkers.
I don't put no dollar sign over human life.
I made sure that man...
What about that family who got burned out of their trailer and the kid died?
I thought they were all out. I didn't know there was one still inside.
No, because you were too concerned about getting to the rich man's house. While they're having their $1 million house built, why don't they have an extinguisher or a sprinkler system put in?
I just got done explaining it to you. The indoor sprinkler system is not going to help with a brush fire coming down the hill, and no garden hose is going to stop that either. Now, a man in a $1 million house probably has a more important job than the guy in a small house.
So it's easier to wipe out a bunch of a whole trailer lot.
Well, look, if you burn people out of a trailer park, okay, they're going to be a lot easier to go get a new trailer than some guy's going to get a new house with granite floors, brand new limestone marble tiled ceiling. Okay?
Lots of the people in the trailer houses probably can't afford the homeowner's insurance. So when they lose it, that's it. Is Red Cross supposed to bail them out? Is y'all, so, is so y'all, you y'all, y'all, y'all excuse?
You expect the government to play for these trailer rockers? Why should the wealthier people have to put in a sprinkler system while a trailer dude just sits there and wants the bacon fry? I don't understand how that's fair at all.
Everybody is working hard for their money. Some people make more, some people make less.
There you go.
No less of
there
a
you
human.
Go. There you
because
go.
Because you live in a trailer house makes you no less of a human.
There you go.
What do you mean, there you go? The guy just said they're entitled to protection from the fire department every bit as much as a man in a million-dollar house.
Have you ever seen a million-dollar home burn? It'll bring you to your knees in tears.
It doesn't matter if it's a million-dollar home burning or a $10 home burning. It
oh, yeah, it does.
To somebody that
yeah,
somebody needs that house.
Yeah, it do, because in a trailer, that's all that is aluminum. And maybe some vinyl, okay?
It doesn't matter. Somebody worked hard to get that, to call it a home.
Oh,
they didn't get it back and get welfare. They worked hard to get a place to call their home.
How hard you got to work to get
house.
Why are we having this discussion?
No, wait, just hear me out.
No, why are we having this idiotic discussion? The man's making a good point. A life is a life.
How hard do you got to work to buy a house that's aluminum and vinyl? You like 2 weeks? Meanwhile, a rich man, he probably got to work a whole year for the house he got. See, a trailer's not a home. A trailer's where you store stuff.
It doesn't matter how long you work for what. The point is that you went out.
Thank you for that.
You made your money and you earned it.
Okay, very good point, Jerome. 1-800.
No, wait a minute. I won that argument.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did. I told him that the rich man pays most of the taxes for the fire department and for the United States, you know, National Guard and everything that comes down there to clean it all up. You could pick a shed up at Home Depot that's worth more than a lot of these trailers. You could go get a shed at Home Depot and live in it. Okay? Now, what you going to do if your shed catches fire? You could put that out. Here's another thing that I don't understand. If a trailer catches on fire, all you got to do is turn the hose on at the spigot, bring the hose over, and hose it on down. The guy say hose down a $1 million home. I don't think so. These are two-story houses. Unless you got the brass knobs and going to reach the roof of the house, you're crap out of luck, man. You're SOL. That's why I say that it's...
So you're trying to now tell me that a guy in a trailer, it's going to be easier for him to put his home out.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Gary, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil?
Yes, sir.
Hey, either this guy's snowing you or he's snowing the people that he's charging money to, because that's just not the way people fight fires.
Well, when these trailers catch on fire, why don't these folks just hitch it up and pull a damn thing down to a lake?
Look, I thought that this guy might actually be ripping people off.
How do you figure
that?
Now
I think he's just making this all up.
No, wait a minute. How do you figure out ripping
any guy who tells you that firefighters spend 90% of their time playing checkers doesn't
know
anything about firefighting?
Well, how do you know?
Because I've been a firefighter for 12 years.
Okay, what do you guys do when you're not fighting fires?
We're servicing equipment. We're checking hydrants. We're making visits to homes. We're inspecting buildings.
Oh, come
we're
on. You know, that don't take every day. You
hey,
know,
look, man, you don't know anything about fighting
fires. I know.
And I'll tell you another thing. Fire departments don't respond to private citizens' requests to come and fight a particular fire.
If I tell you there's a fire in a neighborhood which got million-dollar homes, you're going to go up there, aren't you?
I'm going to go to every fire that's
Yeah, you don't
up.
Know what the other fire is, guy. I didn't tell you about it.
I'm going to go to every... But you're not the only person calling the fire department, man. We got a number that everybody knows.
No, but see, what we
everybody
do is we
knows
intercept...
our phone number.
We intercept a lot of those calls.
Well, now you're breaking the law.
No, sir, we're not.
Yes, you are.
Now he's just making this up. Anybody calls 911 and the fire department shows up.
All you guys do is play checkers and then you do them firefighter calendars where you take off your clothes.
Phil, this has got to be some
okay.
kind of
is this some kind of a freaking joke?
No, sir. I'm
yeah.
telling
Phil,
you that we have
a
business
here.
Are you kidding me?
No, sir. We've got a business which responds to real wealthy people whose homes is burning. And this guy's going to go pee on a double wide. That's great.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, Paul Lane is with us from Firebreak Consultants. We've had big fires in the state of California. We've had large floods in the Midwest. We've had tornadoes. We've had hurricanes. Mr. Lane is hired by wealthy homeowners to call the fire department or the rescue teams whenever one of their homes is threatened. But the guy who lives in a trailer or a double wide, or the guy who lives in a small mason block house, he doesn't get any protection because you're redirecting the fire equipment. Is that's basically it?
Well, Mr. Henry, you have tried to characterize me as a man who doesn't care about human life.
No, but that's what you do, isn't it?
Well, what we do, if you really want to know what we do, I will tell you what we do.
Well, I think you've told us what you do.
No, sir, I'll tell you what we do. We put firefighters to work. And let me tell you about firefighters and what's going on out there. Number one, these guys are up playing checkers, eating ham sandwiches, watching the cable TV on the Spice Channel or something like that.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about the men who are in the station house?
I'm talking about firefighters. If they're not fighting a fire...
Well, you heard the guy, the firefighter from Houston. They're checking equipment. They're going to schools. And...
Oh, yeah, right. You know, they're going to schools every day. They do that like once a month when they have an open house. That's the time when they do that. They have what's called an open house so the neighborhood can come and look at how polished up their engine is and how the hoses are all wound up neat. And that's about the most ridiculous thing. I don't know about firefighters, you know, lounging around half naked, watching the Spice Channel. Then they take their shower and they go see if there's something to eat. Then, on occasion, the bell rings, what they call a fire alarm goes. Then they all slide down their pole, which, by the way, that's the thing. Everything that...
Okay, I got your message. You're basically slamming firefighters now.
I'm just trying to say we'll put them to work fighting a fire on $1 million house. Taxpayer get his money's worth. Instead of them going down a pole, the only other place I've seen a fire pole, where's the only other place where you've seen a fire pole?
Sir, I don't know.
Where's the only other place is in a strip bar, that's right. And then they spend, so to me, I'm just saying, I think if these folks that own the trailers had stopped trying to make the trailer look like it hadn't got wheels by putting shrubs around the wheels, the thing wouldn't catch fire so easy. But they try to put shrubs around the wheels, and what does that do? The fire starts there, melts the wheels, the whole thing collapses.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Ken, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
You Ken? Sure you're not a mobile home terrorist?
Are you talking to me, sir?
Yeah.
I'm a what?
You sound to me like that you're a terrorist. If I was living in a mobile home...
A terrorist is an individual
which,
who...
Which I do, and my mobile home catches on fire tonight, I'm going to check you out. Because it sounds to me like you've got a vendetta against manufactured houses.
No, sir, I do not, sir. All I'm saying is that I think our firefighters should be put to work. And $1 million man's house goes up. I'm sure, yeah, I'm a terrorist, right? Yeah, sure, Bin Laden
what,
wants your
what
help.
What fire I'm taking for this house?
Okay, Ken, I'm going to put, Ken, your phone is breaking up. I'm going to put you on hold for just a second here while we get your phone back. Richard, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
He called me a terrorist like I'm Bin Laden or something.
Go ahead, Richard.
Oh, all right, okay, this is my comment. Okay, how can you say that poor people don't work for their money?
I didn't say poor people don't work for their money.
Yeah, yes, you did. Earlier you said that a poor person has to work for 2 weeks to buy a house.
Well, that's not saying he don't work. Just means all he has to do is work 2 weeks to get... and also, a lot of them is on welfare, and you can buy a shed from Home Depot, put wheels on it.
All right, check this out, okay. You can't say that they don't work hard.
Can't you do that? You can buy a shed from Home Depot and put a wheel on it.
Okay, yeah. So a rich guy who goes out and sits behind his little fruity desk all day and files paper works hard for his house?
Hey, a rich guy, so that's all that, like, Michael Eisner does is file paperwork all day long. He makes billions and billions of dollars worth of decisions every day.
So you can't stereotype poor people by saying they're all on welfare.
Well,
you can't stereotype every
man,
trailer homeowner by saying they're on welfare.
All right, who's the richest guy you ever heard of? Like, let's say Michael Eisner, who owns the whole Disneyland, okay? That's pretty rich if you own all of Disneyland. I don't know what you think about it.
Well, if it's that guy, he ain't going to own $1 million house. He's going to have, like, a $3 billion house,
okay,
that
so,
guy.
All right, you want to have, let's go send a fireman down there to put out some guy's Home Depot shed while that guy's $1 billion house is burning to the ground. That's
yeah, but who's going to have more trouble... Who's going to have more trouble getting their new house, the poor guy or the rich guy? The poor guy,
if
he has to go out there...
If the guy gets is a plastic shed from a pool company, that's where he lives.
Oh, my God. You're freaking sick.
No, dude, how long do you have to work to get one of them plastic toy sheds from a pool company?
how hard do you have to work? You have to sit out in the hot sun and shovel dirt all day to get that shed.
Hey, man, the point is, Michael Eisner's got to work longer to get his $3 billion house than some guy who goes out and gets a plastic shed from a pool company.
Wait a minute. Who's living in a plastic shed?
A lot of these poor people can do that.
We're talking about a trailer, I thought. Some of these trailers are $100,000, $150,000, $200,000. They're expensive homes. Let me see. Thanks for your call. Let me see if Ken's back. Ken?
Yeah, I'm there.
Go ahead, sir.
I make my living selling manufactured housing. And I don't understand how this guy can even figure a trailer is substandard housing or anything else. It's obvious he hasn't seen one.
I don't think it's substandard.
But the thing about it is, every year when I get my W-2, I pay my equal share of taxes, and I don't get all the tax breaks that Michael Eisner gets. I work very, very hard for my money.
Well, but the houses you sell could roll away in the middle of the night.
No, they don't roll away in the middle of the night, sir. You need to come down and watch out.
How do they do it?
I happen to be in has strip required. It's tied down. It meets every standard. The federal government approves them.
Okay.
FHA approves them. And then you're telling me that because of that, I'm some law.
You know what? I tried, Ken. Your car phone, either you pull. We can't understand you, man. It's breaking up. Okay. I just have a few more comments to make here. First of all, like the guy said, you don't know anything about trailers, okay?
Yes, I do. If they catch on fire and a wheel burns, you can't haul them out of there. That's another thing.
Well, what house can you haul out of there?
Well, you can't haul any house out of there.
That's right. The only house you could haul out of there would be a guy's trailer.
But if the rubber melts on a tire?
They don't even have them, like the guy said. There's no rubber melting on a tire. Who exactly do you work for, anyway?
I work for a variety of people who are very wealthy. I can't tell you their names right now.
Well, do you know who they are?
I've got their names somewhere. Got them on file. And I just fly around all day long, make sure their houses don't burn down. And that's all I'm saying. I don't mean nothing by it.
All right, well, good luck with your line of work, but I think that what you're doing is like the guy said, you're making people who live in trailers look bad, and the guy in a million-dollar house, he deserves protection from the fire.
Well, again, the only thing I can say is if you have a trailer, you can always haul it down to the lake and just push it in, and that'll get the fire out, but you can't drag a million-dollar house down to a lake and have the fire put out that way. So that's the advantage. See, why do you need a fire department if you can drag it down to the lake and just push it in?
All right.
See, that's the whole point I'm trying to...
Yeah, that's a great point, okay?
Thank you. If you'd have listened, you'd have got...
Yeah, now I understand. See, if I have a mobile home, I could just haul it down to the lake if it's on fire and roll it into the water. If I live near a lake. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The voice of Paul Tubby Lane, the guy who the guy who calls the fire department to tell them to come and fight fires at the rich guy's house because poor guys who live in trailers can just tow their trailer down to the lake and push it in. That was performed by me. I was Paul Lane, and the people that called in talking to him, they were real people who thought he was a real guy. That's what we do in our show. We don't do prank phone calls. People call us. That's what makes our show different from, I don't know, what's just off the top of your head. How about that new Jimmy Kimmel show? 1-800-449-8686. ABC to end politically incorrect. Yes, the headline was small. Not too many words. Almost lost in the hustle and bustle and the hubbub of the day's news. But there it was. ABC to end politically incorrect. Yes, politically incorrect. You know the show, the one that was hosted by Bill Maher, the show that had on such stellar lights of the broadcast firmament as, well, I don't want to mention any names. You know that show. And then he gets on there and he says, well, you know, America's the bigger coward because we launch missiles from 2,000 miles away. As if, in other words, having technology means that we're somehow gutless. As if having the technology to adequately defend one's country means that we don't have guts. Well, anyway, Bill Maher made those comments. And Bill Maher made those comments because he wasn't a broadcaster. He was a stand-up comic who was given a TV job. And he made a typical blunder of a stand-up comic. He got before a broadcast audience in front of cameras, in front of microphones, and he said something that might have passed with a comedy club audience of about 300 people who were Stone fans and were there just to see him, and everybody would have said, you're just the funniest thing since sliced bread. And he could go to another club, and he could go to another arena and do his thing. But when you're a broadcaster, you have to weigh the things you say. You can say some outrageous stuff, don't get me wrong. It's done every day. Everybody is making their career on being outrageous. Everybody's controversial now. I don't know if you've noticed or not. Just flip on the radio, turn on the TV, and everybody's controversial. It's not a big thing, but you have to know sometimes that there are periods of time when even just a comment that one could toss off 6 months before or a year before suddenly has import and can harm you with an advertiser, with an audience. That's if you're a broadcaster, you know that. But Bill Maher, he wasn't a broadcaster. He was a comic that got a TV show. So he opened his big fat trap and he said something stupid like, America's cowardly because we lob cruise missiles from 2,000 miles away. Well, that was a dumb, stupid thing to say. Wasn't particularly funny. And maybe his friends called him and said it was just so insightful. Well, no, it wasn't insightful either. See, that's the problem we got here. See, Maher made the comment because he thought that he was saying something, while perhaps controversial and perhaps something was going to lose him his job, nonetheless, it was true. Well, no, it wasn't, Bill. It wasn't true either. It wasn't insightful, and it wasn't true. Because if a country has the technology, the advanced technology, to defend itself adequately, that's a smart country. That's a technologically advanced country. That's a nation with a lot to lose, and therefore has to go to great lengths to protect it. That's why we fire cruise missiles, so we don't have to kill our guys. Do we kill a whole bunch of their guys? Oh yeah, you bet. By the bushel. By the truckload. Hundreds and hundreds, hopefully. Thousands, hopefully. Our guys? No, we don't kill. That's why we launch the missiles. Then we send our guys in there to scour out their little caves like rat's nests. That's how it's done, Billy Boy. Now, you'd still be on the air today had you had me on your show, but no. You had to have every other schmuck in L.A. radio on that show except me. I swear to God, every other slob that's on the air in this town was on that show. Were they interesting? Of course not. Funny? I dare I say. Me? I never even got so much as a wink. I never got so much as a kiss blown my way. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because I'm funnier than him! I don't know whether it's true or not. Probably not. I don't know why. I guess maybe they think I suck. Anyway, he's gone, man. And in his place, Jimmy Kimmel with his prank phone call show. Nice going, ABC. You just really keep knocking it out of the park. Just one brilliant... This is the same network, by the way, that gave us Fridays 20 years ago. After Saturday Night Live hit it out of the park, they come up with Fridays. That lasted about 14 seconds. They haven't had an original idea over there, man. Even Disneyland ain't an original of them. Do you know what the original idea that they had? They bought the Mighty Ducks. Do they know how to run them? No. But it was original for them to buy them. I guess they thought it was a cartoon. They didn't know it was a real hockey team. And they own the Angels, too. Thank God you got Mike Socia. I don't even think you guys knew what you were getting when you hired him. He's a great manager, and if you're smart, you'll give the guy $3 million a year and just stay out of his face. But that's if you're smart. So they're going to have that prank phone call show, and that'll knock it out of the park. That's a good move. Hey, why don't you buy a football team? Move it to Anaheim Stadium. Call it the Rams. All right, so now the Hollywood sign has another problem. I guess somebody peed on it or something. Every time I open up the newspaper, there's a story about the Hollywood sign. For you guys that don't live in Los Angeles, this is interesting nonetheless. It's a landmark. Like any, when I was in Atlanta, it was the Big Chicken in Marietta. Every town's got a landmark. They had the Big Chicken in Marietta, and they didn't want to have the chicken ripped down because it was the original Kentucky Fried Chicken. And they had T-shirts, Save the Big Chicken. They still knocked it down, I think. I think they still knocked it down. And every place, like in Minnesota, they got a big ball of yarn or some bull crap. People go out and look at this ball of yarn. But in L.A., they got the Hollywood sign. And every time you turn around, there's a new article in the newspaper about somebody took a leak on it, it's falling down, who's going to pay for it, center of a political battle. You drive down the road and you look up there to your right or to your left, depending on which way on the Hollywood freeway you're going, and there it says, Hollywood. And it's made out of metal, and it was made out of wood, and it's up there, and they uplight it, and they downlight it, and sometimes somebody goes up there and blacks out some of the letters so it spells poo on you or whatever, you know, like an April Fool joke. The reason why they have Hollywood up there on the side of the hill is so you know where you are when you're driving down these, you know, I don't know where I am half the time. This is, L.A. is the only place I know of where they spell out the names of the towns in rocks or in wood. The sign on the road isn't good enough. Like, if you go into South Pasadena passing the freeway, they got South Pasadena. It's in the rocks there. Now do you know where you are? I think every city should do it for guys like me. I don't know where the hell I am. Where did you see this? I don't know. What do you see? Well, there it is. It's in
South Pasadena.
And up there it says Hollywood. You know? Where else they got it? They got it somewhere else. Oh, I've seen it everywhere.
Merino Valley.
They got it spelled out on the side of the mountain. Merino Valley. Right there in case. I forgot where I am, Ed. Just look to your left. Oh, yeah, Merino Valley. There. See, it's all out there. And it's spelled out in flowers, so I don't miss it. Because I don't know where the hell I am. I think L.A.'s got some kind of a big L.A. sign. At the airport, it's L.A. Hey, what airport did I just land? Oh, thank you, L.A. Now do you know, finally, you're in L.A. I think I take all these signs down. I'm getting tired of them. That South Pasadena one was looking pretty rat-ass for a while. They did it in flowers, but nobody watered it, so they ripped all the flowers out. Now it's just in rocks. South Pasadena, right there. So you know where you're at. I think the Hollywood sign is just let it fall apart and put a new one up. I don't know. Put something up digital. Do something in a virtual reality. Just enough with these stories about the Hollywood. What are we going to do with the Hollywood sign? I don't know. It says that now the problem is that Hollywood wants to secede from L.A. See, most people think Hollywood is a different town. It's not. It's part of the city of Los Angeles. It's a district. Well, they want to secede. They don't want to be a part of L.A. no more, okay? Just like the Valley doesn't want to be a part of L.A. no more, okay? So pretty soon L.A. is going to be like the size of Miami. Well, you know how big Miami is? It's nothing. It's like three blocks. There's three blocks of Miami. They got Bal Harbor. They got North Beach, South Beach, Middle Beach. They got Bay Harbor. They got everything other than East Miami, West Miami, North Miami, South Miami, and the town of Miami, like 14 feet. That's it. It's a guy standing there selling peanuts. It's a guy who speaks Cuban, and he's playing dominoes. Welcome to Miami. Okay, see you later. Bye. And then you're out of town, and you're into something else. They got no Miami anymore. Pretty soon we want to have no L.A. But as long as they got that sign that says
L.A.,
and I know I'm there in that little square block area. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.